thank you for being here. I'm sure some of you had to get up early to come here, make it on time. We appreciate that. I'm sure some of you were left over. You don't mind raising your hand, do you? I want to make sure we talk to you. Bernie Kennison is the saxophonist. As you know, Paul, our regular keyboard man. Bernie has tapes over here for sale and CDs. He'll be right over here after church, and get with him and get those. I mean, that's real talent. That's really something. I told you he could play. And I'd heard him. His friend Ann's. Ann found him on the pier. He just out there playing. And they got to be friends. Generally, her friends are a little iffy when she said she wanted to bring one to play. I said, well, I don't know. Well, she brought the CD, and we said, that's all right. That's good. Isn't that? Give him another hand. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So they'll be over there. Don't forget to get your envelopes, those of you who don't know. And if, Bob, you'll spread some of those out afterwards, I'll appreciate it. Or you can do it as we talk. Just put some around to make them available for everybody. This is not for me. Paul Taylor, Paul's little boy, has leukemia, and we help him all we can. If you'd help him, send him a little money. The little boy with no arms and no legs, and his brother with everything wrong with him. He got everything but vitis gerulitis, bless little old Frankie's heart. We help them, the Wise family, so we have their envelopes. And then they're getting Bradley, the little boy who can't have arms and legs, and through you folks who come here and through the friendship of Harold Besant, we were able to contact the Shriners, one of which Harold is, and he knew some people in the higher-ups, and they got the little boy a pair of legs within a week after we notified him. And, but he has a long way to go. And a gentleman came, if you weren't here, you missed a blessing. A fellow came from Carolina Canines in Wilmington. They train dogs for handicapped kids and handicapped people to do things for them. And he's training a dog for Bradley now. And to train one of those dogs costs $20,000 to $25,000. So take an envelope, if you will, if for no other reason than for you to have the address. And then you can make your own envelopes at home. And take the time to send these folks a couple of bucks. It won't hurt you. If they walked up on the street and wanted a Pepsi or a hot dog, surely you'd buy them one. And just do that, because they're in a lot worse shape than we are. And we can't help everybody, but we can help them. So please do that, if you will, as a testimony to your faith in what God can do. We thank you for the support that you give us to keep us going. Is Marilyn Hartley here this morning? You hear Marilyn running for mayor? She was going to try to get here. And, of course, Bill Rice is running for council, and so is Norfleet Jones, city council. Remember them. Bernie, he's got sax tapes. I looked at that, thought it said sex tapes. I had to. And Randy's got tapes, too. Continue to pay for the president, the people in bereavement. We got all that covered. Remember these folks. The Chamber of Commerce is selling little proud-to-be-American flags to put on your windshield. And I think they're a dollar, and they'll have more of them here next week, or you can stop by Chamber of Commerce and get them. And we thank you for the outpouring of spirit that we have seen in our country. If this is your first time here, you're welcome. We hope it's not your last. Those of you who come regularly, we can't thank you enough for your support and your prayers. We have Faye and Klein Banks over here. Faye's brother had surgery, was in a coma. They had him off life support, and she called, said, please pray, get others too, and we did. And she said she went back, and the doctor witnessed to her, said, let me tell you about a miracle, lady, and he's going to be all right, but you keep praying for him. Okay. So we shall pray, and then we shall expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you In the name of Christ Jesus, we come before the throne of grace, which he made available through the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross. That the veil of the temple was rent, and now we as children of God have access to you face to face. We don't have to go through anybody but the one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that, that truly you are our friend of friends. We ask that you be with those families and those folks who were killed, injured, and giving of their time and effort, and those who are giving blood, those who are giving money to help in this disastrous thing that's happened to our country. But they'll find that when you hit us in our heart, we don't break. We unite. And we thank you for that. And we can do that through your power. And you will get glory somehow out of this. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen. As always, remove me from this place that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten should be. And anything that should be remembered, please let it be. And if there be one under here in the sound of my voice who knows you not as Lord and Savior, may their life change forever as ours did Tuesday by a disaster. May theirs change by a heart attack by you, where they understand who you are and what you did and that you did it for them. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We're out of tapes. We had 160 CDs. Larry been working all week on that. If you wanted one from last week, just leave your name and address with him, and he will mail it to you. This one will be on tape. It'll be ready next week. So we thank you for those who get those and pass them out to friends, relatives, nurses, homes, and people who need to learn how to preach. We thank you for that. Isn't that ugly? I live with that. So if you turn to the scriptures, John 15 and 13, the Lord Jesus himself was talking to his disciples, and in this discourse he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We saw that happen this week. We saw many, many firemen and policemen and those doctors and medical workers and all those folks who went to work that morning while everyone was coming out of the building. They were busy about going into it. A miracle that people will lay down their life and knowingly do this for someone they don't even know. It tells you something about the human spirit, does it not? It tells you something about the American way of life, that someone will give their life for someone they don't know, don't see, and will never benefit from that. How wonderful it is to know that people can love each other like that. I was glad to see that nobody stopped to see what color anybody was before they went in the building. I was glad to see nobody checked their income, federal Social Security tax, to see if they were worthy or not to be saved. I was glad to see that nobody asked, are you from the north or the south or the east or the west? But someone was in trouble, and they needed a friend. And these people who went in and lost their lives and laid it down for that reason have the greatest love that mankind can share. It extends to the policemen who lost their lives, nor fleet at the meeting we had over here in memorial for the firemen and the policemen the other day. And I went to say the prayer, and several spoke, and Norfleet spoke, and he said something so wonderful. He said, I hope this changes your view of firemen and policemen, civil servants. Sometimes we have a tendency to call policemen not very nice names because they gave us a ticket for doing what we weren't supposed to be doing. But understand, that man puts his life on the line every morning and will defend you for your rights even when you're wrong. And Norfleet said, if you're going to do anything for these people, just thank them when you see them on the street. What a wonderful thing it would be if every time you saw a policeman, you stopped him and said, just a minute, just want to say thank you for what you do for me and walk on. It's the greatest thing they can. You're thanking them for this love. The servicemen who are going out to a land they know nothing about, to face people they know not much of, and a lot aren't going to come back. And they leave this morning with full knowledge of that they can stay there. Some of you here have been in the Delta Force. Some of you have been in the Green Beret. I have one here who trains those kind of people. They know and have seen their friends lay face down in the mud in Vietnam, Korea. Some from the Second World War. My father-in-law has a ball cap he wears with three things on it: Second World War, Korea, and Vietnam. And I said, there's somebody that loves somebody, willing to lay down his life in three wars so I could be free. For those of you who did that, thank you. Thank you forever. Of all the people we see who do that, who have that love, some are unsung heroes. We kind of expect the police to put their life on the line. We pay them for that. We expect the firemen to go in. They're paid to do that. Doesn't take away the love they have in any degree, but that's expected. But the people who go beyond that, who never get mentioned, of all the things I saw on television this week, and I'm sure you were loaded up with things, they had an interview with a man who washed windows at the World Trade Center. And they had interviewed him a few months back as a special feature on the TV, and he was in his little carriage that he gets in and goes over the side, and he was explaining he had the greatest office in the world. He said, these inside just think they have a good office. He said, I can see Connecticut from my office. I see the whole city. And they showed it, and it indeed was beautiful. And you could tell he enjoyed his work and loved it and what he was doing. And he explained that he wouldn't do anything else for any amount of money, that he felt special doing that. And he was doing that for his family. A job that you and I might hesitate to take, hanging 105 stories high to wash windows. And he got caught. And he called his wife on the cell phone and said, honey, I'm on the 105th floor. And I'm in the second tower. The first one's been hit by a plane. And I said, don't worry, I'm with 200 or 300 people, and we're starting down the steps now. Everything's going to be all right. Little did he know the second plane was coming. He didn't make it home. I said, here's a man with no name, no fame. Will be remembered little except by his immediate family, but here's a man who laid down his life for his friends, his wife and family. And you, whatever you do, whether it's working in a textile mill or a coal mine in West Virginia or flying a jet plane, whatever you do, that's you too. Every day you get up, you go to work, you're laying down your life for your family. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and you're to be applauded. No greater love hath any man than will lay down his life for his friends. All the dads do that. All the moms do that. I think of the single mothers I see and two and three jobs, trying to raise two and three kids. Family's blown apart. Difficult. There she is, laying down her life for a friend. And you're to be honored, for greater love hath no man than this. Well, there's an unknown friend you have, spoken about in John 10, 17 and 18. And I always think how nice it is to have an unknown friend. I've been in some jams like you have in your life, and just out of the blue comes an unknown friend with the answer. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I often think of little Bradley that we support here, help him and his family. little boy doesn't understand yet what we do. I've got a picture I had made of him. It's an album they gave the family. Standing up here, I'm holding him. He's got his little legs on, and his mother's putting his legs on. And under the caption, Ann asked me to write the captions for the picture, so I did. I said, well, I went to the beach. I got two legs, two arms, a wagon, and a dog. I said, I believe that fat man's Santa Claus. Oh, me. But that little boy found a friend at the flea market, and she's sitting right over here. And because she cared, she came to me. And because I cared, I came to you. And because you cared, we went to Harold. And because he cared, he called the Shriners. And because somebody cared enough to take the time to lay down their life, an unknown friend, to give part of their life, part of their time, now a little boy who couldn't walk can. It's good to have those kind of friends. Jesus is that kind of friend. In John 10:17, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. You get home, you study that real careful. And this is a carpenter with the boldness to say, I'm going to lay down my life. Like many martyrs have done of many religions, but he finished it, said that I might take it again. Said, I've got the power to give it up, and I've got the power to get it back. Please understand who I am telling you I am. I have been given all power in heaven and in earth. I am God. Some believed it, some poo-pooed it, some cast him off as a guru, some as a religious nut. But Resurrection Sunday, the table turned. And people quit laughing. And the grave was empty. And indeed, he laid down his life for me and for you. Someone who didn't know him. Someone who didn't know of him. I wasn't born yet. 2,000 years before I came along, he said, Beaver gonna need some help. And laid down his life that I could have it. Knew you by name. Scripture said he knew you when you were being made in your mother's womb. He already knew who you are. Said, I'll die for him. For when he comes forth, he's going to sin. And he's going to need a Savior. And I'm the only one who can do it. So an unknown friend came to my rescue when I needed one like I never needed one before. An unknown friend has already come to your rescue. You may not even know his name. You may use it as a part of your conversation with profanity. You may use it emptily, that's vainly, that's taking the Lord's name in vain, by the way. And here's someone who was greater than the fireman and the policeman and the soldier. Your mother or your daddy, here's one who laid down his life as God. To pay the price of your sin and mine, and had the power to raise it up again. Because once that price had been paid on Calvary, he never said, it's been started, try to do well. He never said, I'll carry you halfway. You're going to have to work the rest out with religion. The last cry from the cross was, it is finished. It's over. Redemption is here. The payment has been made. You can add nothing to it. You can take nothing from it. All you can do is accept what he did for you as a friend, or reject what he did and be his enemy. He's the most powerful friend. Luke said he's not only a friend, but he's a friend that must be chosen. He's a gentleman. He won't force himself on you. He won't force his beliefs on you. He doesn't make you do anything. He said, I paid the price because I loved you. The definition of a friend is somebody who knows all about you and likes you anyway. Well, that's the only kind of friends I like. Jesus said, I like you anyway. I'll lay down my life for you anyway. I know what you did. Knew you were going to do it before you did it. Saw you do it when you did it. And I'll remember it forever unless we become friends. Then we cover you by my blood. And my Father who looks on you from now on, he doesn't see you. He sees me. Used to hear my daddy preach in a tent in Greenville, South Carolina, where me and Johnny Worrell are from. I guess they're proud we left, John. I didn't ask. And I'd hear that beautiful voice of his come down to invitation time, and he'd say, please understand, the Savior I present to you today loved you in spite of who you are, and because of who you are, and offers to change who you are. And once you accept him as Savior, God puts you on the same level with his Son. And he'd say, listen very closely to this. Near, so very near to God, I can no nearer be. For in the person of his Son, I'm just as near as he. And dear, so very dear to God, I can no dearer be. For in the person of his Son, I'm just as dear as he. As a child, I didn't understand that. As a teenager, I wondered at it. And as a man, I cried when I heard it. What a God. What a Savior. What a friend we have in Jesus. He said, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The answer is in no other. False gods come and go. The jihad we face is going to be a gee whiz in about a month. For we follow the one God, the true God, the one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him as your friend today, what a day for you. The president said, he that is not with me is against me. And boy, said, what a line. Everybody said, hey, we write that down. What a speech writer. Well, if you'll turn to Luke 11:23, you'll find out that wasn't written Wednesday. Jesus Christ said, you either for me or against me. You either gather with me or you scatter. Pick one. in or out, up or down, lost or found, heaven or hell. But there's a friend who said, please don't go. There's a friend who laid down his life where you didn't have to go. And that friend of mine sent me this morning and said, please tell my other friends. That this is the ultimate friendship. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He stood on the cross and gave his life. He stands at the gate of heaven today and said, there's room enough for you. Please come. Let's be friends. Let's have fellowship forever. I've paid for your sin. Stop by the cross. Pick up a ticket. And come on in. If you've never confessed Christ as a Savior, today would be a good day for that. You don't have to come up here, raise your hand, don't have to do anything. My business here is done. But where you sit, as I pray, if you don't have a friend like that, you need one. For one day your life will be laid down, voluntarily or otherwise. And then you'll need a friend in Jesus. If you haven't done that, you do that today. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. I don't understand it all, but I need a friend like you. Save me. Let me be a member of your family. And then I'll learn about it in the days I have left. I promise he'll run from the gate of heaven straight to your heart and give you a heart attack like you never had before. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who did lay down their life this past week for their friends. Thank you for those who work all around the country, moms and dads, and are laying down their lives for their friends, their families. Thank you that years ago you saw we were in trouble, and we had no way out, so you came and laid down your life to pay for our sin. Surely there are those in a crowd this large who don't know you as Savior. Oh, they might be a little religious, might even have the name on a church roll, but have never honestly come face to face and grip the fact that if they died today, they'd go to hell. It's those, Lord Jesus, I'd ask that you make a friend today, that you touch their hearts, that they understand the seriousness of this, and they make a decision to follow you. For the song is true. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Be with those among us who are sick. Be with Mr. Douglas, who's in the hospital and with chest pains, couldn't be with us today. Be with Faye's brother as he continues to recover. Be with Ben. Be with Frankie and be with Bradley. And be with us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, my soon coming King, and my God. Amen.